Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey there, from the deck of the Jack Tide. Hi, boys.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Truly really missed you. Missed you a lot.
Really good to be back, finally, after everything. And for those of you that may have been in the movie Room, in your own shed in the backyard. I was at my mom's funeral this weekend. We gave her a wonderful send off, and it's now time to move on. As anybody that goes through anything like that, it turns you to squash for about a month.
Yep.
And you know, you're just not with it and you're not focused. So I wanted to do one thing at the beginning of the show here, simply because I wrestled with this very, very quickly before the show. I didn't think I was going to do this, and that is share a poem with all of you that I wrote for my mom at her funeral mass that we had on Saturday. And then I said to myself, you know what? No, I am going to do that, because the sentiments that everybody shared with me, thousands of you shared with me online, about this, and the cards that I got from people, and the guys in the studio that weren't there because, you know, it was a destination, and you don't come to a funeral that far away. I miss so many of one of my great regrets with family is that I miss so many of them. And every one of my cousins was there, and I had a moment where I felt so grateful that they had showed up. But I said, because people had been so kind to me that no, I'm not going to leave this just for the family. I'm gonna share this for everybody. And she had a wonderful send off, and it was great to see everybody up there. And my sister gave a wonderful talk about my mom. My niece Jessica read a lovely poem. And my daughter gave one of the readings, and
it was nice.
It was really, really a nice family event, and as those things go. But when you're 95, to be honest with you, you don't, unless you're a dignitary, not all the pews are filled, if you know what I mean. That's
the way it is,
and that's the reality of it. But family was great. And so I wrestled with this this morning, and I said, should I share this? And then I went, of course I'll share this, because you know what? It really represented the way I felt a while back. Was it 3 weeks ago? Yeah, 3 weeks ago, that the night before my mom passed away, and I was at my sister's house. She had traveled overseas. I was struggling with what to do, and I began to allow myself to think about what I might say at her funeral. And at that point, I said, you know, what a lot of people don't know is that my mom was an amateur poet. I never knew. I went years thinking that my father had written all these poems. I got a great poem on my 30th birthday about fishing in our backyard and trying to get this giant bass all summer long, until the neighbor came across with his grandson, and they came walking through the yard with this giant bass, the one that I had looked for. My mom wrote a poem about it, and it was actually, I thought my dad had written that poem for years, until she said, no, I wrote that poem. And it turns out, they would send out party invitations, and they'd have a little poem on it for a party, just fun stuff.
But that's
it was
great.
And it was my mom that did that. My dad did the drawings. My mom did the poem, and I didn't realize. So the long and short of it is, I never realized that she did this. And I said, you know, I'm going to try, even though I am far from a poet, I am going to try to write something for her. But I didn't know what to say. And then I sat there and I said, well, I'm kind of racked with this Irish guilt about wanting her to stick around longer, because she's been with us for so long. And I think that anyone that has lost a very old relative can relate, because that person, you feel like, especially if they may be suffering or they may be too old, you shouldn't be wanting them to stick around. You should want them
to
get on. It's kind of selfish. So you have that moment of Irish guilt.
Understood.
And that's what I was struggling with the night before she passed away, and I decided that I would write a poem for her. And I read this at the funeral. And for anybody that's ever gone through this, and for people that were didn't know my mom but reached out to me, this one's for all of you to hear because I appreciate the love and kindness and generosity of all of our listeners and of everybody that that reached out to me. So this, let me go here. This is the ending of the song. And this is, I read this at my mom's funeral this past Saturday. The world just changed a little bit. The light now not as bright. The joys and sorrows have all changed. Things are not quite right. We should be filled with gratitude. We've loved you for so long. But strangely, we aren't ready for the ending of the song. We smile and remember lovingly. It's deep within our heart. But please forgive us just this once for not playing the part. You have blessed so many of us and for so very long, but I, for one, just can't accept the ending of the song. Loving human spirit, kindness to a fault, gifts to all who knew you, reasons to exalt. Stay for just another day. It wouldn't be too long. Nothing matters more right now than not to end the song. But if the day is here, and we accept what has to be, we look at life lived beautifully, and so we must agree. What a song you sang for us, how truly great to hear. Your song was love, and all of us will sing it loud and clear. God bless you. Now we can start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Is that a gram? New card. What do you think?
Whoa. Very nice. Look at that.
Picked them up from the printers yesterday.
Good coloring.
That's bone. And the lettering is something called Sicilian Braille.
It's very cool, Bateman, but that's nothing. Look at this.
That is really nice.
Eggshell with Romalian type. What do you think?
Nice. Jesus. That is really super. How'd a nitwit like you get so tasteful?
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.
But wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. Raised lettering. Pale nimbus. White.
Impressive. Very nice. Let's see Paul Allen's card. Look at that subtle off-white coloring. The tasteful thickness of it. Oh my God. It even has a watermark.
Something wrong? Patrick? You're sweating.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Well, that's balance. Yeah. Coming to you live from coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Which was better, that or the night before she died, the Belushi talking about the Irish dead mother? I'm not sure. It's a toss-up to me. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, this is the Mike O'Mara Show. On the air and online worldwide, the Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Today's show is brought to you by Headspace. We've been telling you about Headspace for quite some time. It's meditation, and it's guided meditation, and it takes care of stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness. These things all begin in your head, and they slowly wreck your life. So with Headspace, it's a brand new app that gives you guided meditation. Headspace place is Meditation Made Simple. It's like a gym membership for your mind. It's guided meditations that you listen to wherever you want, whenever you want, right over your iPhone, your tablet, or your computer. Meditation is rooted in thousands of years of tradition, and thousands of people have done it. Why don't you get involved? It really does help. I've done this myself. Join over 5 million users already getting some Headspace for free right now. Download it, the free, it's the Headspace app, and it's a Take 10 program. That's what it's called. 10 days of guided meditation. It just takes a few minutes a day. It's 100% free, the Take 10 program, and Headspace is a wonderful way to experience the benefits of meditation in your busy modern life. Train your mind for a healthier, less stressed life. Start your free trial today at headspace.com/TMOS. That's headspace.com/TMOS. Get some Headspace today.
Aren't you happy to be back?
Great to be back, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So I'm reading that, and I know we're having technical stuff, because I know it, because everybody, I just see the scurrying and the pointing and stuff, and I know. Everything okay?
Oh, everything's right? Perfect, mm-hmm. As we told you. Yeah, it's great. Right,
just, you know what's great about a digital board, Mike?
What's
is
that?
I can tell when something's wrong without Rob noticing.
That is so great.
Everything's fine. Cool. It had nothing to do with you. It's just something was up that I wanted him to fix between the American Psycho talk and the actual beautiful poem you put together.
I listened, learning the board, yeah.
I will tell you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It's great to have you back.
You don't mean that.
Yeah, oh. With my heart and soul, I mean, it's great to have you back.
But I've heard wonderful, glowing reviews that, you know, I mean, you enjoy working. You boys get a good... I never hear... You know what I never hear? And this is the truth.
What?
I never hear, come back, Mike, or you know, what I used to get on the old Don and Mike show, or you used to get on the old radio show when I would be there. I get comments about the show, period. That's it. So you guys do a great job. Oscar said to me last week that, you know, I don't want to make it a habit going away. You know, and then thanks for reminding me about that on the week that my mom died. But anyway, I just want to say, you know, thank you. Because you need to hear that. But I get good reviews.
I am pleased that people are okay with it. But you know, this show is...
2 minutes into the show, I've succeeded to bust both partners' balls.
And you know what? I really thought somehow it would go to Pony first. But, you know, that's why the show is unpredictable.
No. Can I remind you tomorrow after the show during our meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good time?
What about that? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere now. I'm not doing that anymore, you mook. Just like you, fathead. You know, I mean, you're not supposed to think that I'm going to... Yeah, I can't expect you to assume the content of the show. You didn't know that I was going to start the show with that moving tribute. But I say, let's just say, for the purpose of argument,
right,
and post-production, Pony Boy.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say before... That means before the show is posted. Let's say, for example, that I have one of my elderly... friends that were at this funeral that might want to listen in on that poem one more time.
Sure.
I think it might be a real good idea not to have...
Yeah, what if they look in and it's like, oh,
Christina,
Mike's
don't
so
just
wonderful.
Look at it and eat at it. Because it's kind of a... It's not related to anything in particular.
We bleeped it.
Yeah.
Who knows what he was saying?
Yeah, I know we bleeped it. So anyway.
We
so
can fix
back.
It. We can absolutely fix it. And you know, Mike, I just want to say, as we often heard in the old days of the morning show, now, Don and Mike do a fine job.
Yes, they do. They do. No, but I've heard, I mean, really, to be honest with you, I mean that. I mean, you guys have a rhythm, and... you know, the only guys that don't do a lot of shows together are Oscar and me, because it's usually me or Oscar. So here's a compliment. This is it. File this away.
Right.
With all the criticism we give you. You know who the workhorse is for doing the show, for being here every single day? You know what his trip is? Oscar works behind the scenes. I do a lot of work setting up these shows and getting... But Rob Spiewak, you are a workhorse, and you are here all the time, and you do it.
Because he doesn't go anywhere. That's why. I'm going to school. I'm not going away for vacation or taking a day.
Did you enjoy those promos I sent you yesterday on my own time?
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's nice, wasn't it? Nice having me at home all the time.
Do you enjoy that monthly paycheck?
I do. Do you enjoy yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all do.
Anyway, everybody's doing what my point is, I'm very happy that we have a system where we can all cover for each other.
It works out well.
Speaking of covering, please turn down his gain. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. Not you, Mike. You're fine.
All right, okay. I was hoping we could adjust it after the show.
No, not 50 minutes later.
Well, okay, hold on then.
After the show, Mike. After the show.
Hello, testing 1, 2.
Turn it down. No, you got to turn it down. That's
as I did.
You went to the right. That's up.
Now, he's here every day, but he will not study that. He will cram, but he won't study it. Rob, take it home or do what you will, but study it. Memorize it so it's not an effort.
I have to apologize because when Oscar set up your gain, he set it too hot. Deny it if you will.
Right, a board operator is supposed to operate the board.
This is behind the scenes. Let's not bog down the show. Boy, it's good to be back. Really feels totally like
look at that, Rob. No pinning.
Song. Oh, look at that. I fixed
that. Great.
Yeah. Very good. All right, that's good. Okay. Well, I'm glad.
You can do that anytime without anybody noticing. You know that.
Oh, you'll notice. You always do.
I'll be happy. Awesome.
For the first time, you'll be happy, Mike.
Well, it is good to be back. It is true. It is great to be staring at a month or two of normalcy in my life, which means not only doing this show and not missing this show, but seriously, just being back where I live and not having to be on pins and needles waiting for something to go down. And we did have a wonderful send-off. I cannot say enough wonderful things about my sister and my sister's family and how great the Boston contingent is. Look, the bottom line is they're all better educated than me. They're all smarter than me. There was a period of my career where I was close, but now they've eclipsed that. They're just wonderful people. And they took care of my mom, for all these years, especially the last 5 years when she moved up to their area. It's just great to have family that is that together. My sister is a whirling dervish. She gets it done. I hope to God that she can rest and relax a little bit and enjoy her life. And yeah, because she has done and dealt with this. And it hasn't been, it's a labor of love. I know that. But I'm just, when you have a family member that steps up the way my sister has stepped up. It's just I don't talk about this a lot on the show. It's more fun to talk about how she gives me a hard time. But the fact of the matter is that she has done incredible things for our family, and it didn't stop until we got on the plane. I mean, she was just there, with me staying in her house and my daughter staying in her house and seeing all my family. It was, it is at the end of the day, boy, 56 years on this planet, I finally noodled this through. It's really the only thing that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It is truly what matters because that is the time when you need them the most. So I am feeling, as I said, the feeling of peace that I've had with this whole thing continued through the weekend, and it was fantastic. However, it wouldn't be me. I also didn't mention one other thing, is that my childhood friend, Joey, who is my longest friend and my first real best friend that I had in high school, how we survived based on racing cars on Route 2 side by side on a two-lane road. That means one of the roads has oncoming traffic. Oh. I don't know how we survived that. And we were talking about the night that I beat him with my father's Plymouth Satellite, and Joey had his father's Delta 88. And I looked in the rearview mirror because I got the left-hand turn down at the bottom of the T intersection, and Joey didn't see it. And I saw Joey in the middle of a 360 go through the fence.
Oh, my God.
And I remember, and at that time, when you're that age, and you're like, oh, no, somebody might be killed. No, I'm going, yeah, I beat him. I beat him. And Joey was a Yankee fan. I was a Red Sox fan. It was
did he make set the table? He was at the ceremony?
He was there.
Was Chad Ram there?
No, Chad was not there.
Rap bastard.
When Joey,
typical, classic Chad.
When Joey texted me and told me he was coming, I was touched. And then I was even more touched when I got a chance to sit down and tell him. And it was just, on the way up north, we're going to get together with them and a door. What do they say about a door opening and all that stuff?
Yeah.
This is going to be because he's a terrific human being, and it's really great to see. And he's been a one-time loser. I'm a three-time loser. He's been married to the one woman, his beautiful wife Angela, and they have grandchildren now. He's been there the whole ride.
He might catch up. You never can tell.
No, not a chance. I think they're together for life.
Do you pick up with him when you talk to him? Is it like no time has passed?
Nothing.
Isn't that crazy? I've got a couple friends like that that I'll talk to literally like every 5 or 6 years, and you pick up the phone, and as soon as you hear their voice, it's like talked to them yesterday.
Yeah.
Joey looks exactly the same. He is not aged. He doesn't age. And my sister said that to him. She said, my God, you look exactly the same. And, because I was big and schlubby, and he was big and schlubby, and we were always big and schlubby. So that's one of the advantages to being big and schlubby. But It was great to see everybody. I have to point this out. And now, I hope nobody gets bothered by this, but I'm not going to mention any names. But
okay.
The fact is that when you have a function like this, you have the church, you have the funeral home, mm-hmm. and then you had a little inn. They were all within inside a half a mile of each other.
Okay.
They were all right there, the three different places. So we had the calling hours, right to the church, right to the inn afterwards. Bing, bang, boom. It was perfect. My mom, God rest her soul, set this whole thing up. She, back in, I think it's December, she planned her own funeral.
Wow.
And she said to Kathy, my sister mentioned this in her eulogy of my mom. She said, Mom, this is a little macabre. She said, don't worry. We'll go out for sushi afterwards. So that was her attitude. She did. And she was, she planned it. And because of that, everything was together, and they could not have been nicer. These two guys, David and Gene at the funeral, I know that most people that probably do that know how to do it, right?
I think gone are the days of the really sort of overly formal, almost morbid personality, the quiet sort of mortician from when we were little. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't help.
There's one thing about this place. Now, I met these two guys. They, and I think I've got this right, they work there. They do a lot of the work. And
hope they're not just hanging out.
No, they run the joint, but there is an owner.
Owner-operator?
Okay. It's an O&O.
There is, I think it, Oscar, I don't know if it's a chain, but I think it's, it's got to be an owner-operator. And let me tell you why.
Why?
In this building that was built a very long time ago, and as I was told by one of the guys, it was built specifically to be a funeral home, but it looks like an old New England cape. It looks like just a large New England house, and that's it. That's fine. And you go in there, and you can tell the rooms are designed. It's just designed. It's got parlors.
Yes.
It's got the viewing areas, and that's where it is. So this.
Please
keep that. Can you turn that off, please?
Yes,
please keep it. Please keep it handy, though.
Okay.
You're going to need it, and I'll need it a little louder in a moment.
Okay.
All right. So let me explain when this all happened. We had to make the decision for my mom to go, whether we were going to wait for my sister to get back as she was flying in, or whether we were going to go to the funeral. We make the decision to go to the funeral home, and it was an excruciating day. Probably the most difficult day I had ever had. If I hadn't had my niece Jessica there, I would have been. I would have had a much longer day. She was incredible, absolutely incredible. But getting there was, and going through all of that, the details of it, it's just not fun. And you're sitting there, and one of the guys, Gene, was there, and I chatted with him. We ended up talking about the Red Sox, and my sister arrived, and I didn't notice my surroundings that much. I didn't pay much attention. Okay, I really, really didn't. As the day progressed on Saturday, we had the calling hours. We got out there probably a little before 9. Calling hours were at 9:30, and then we had to go to the funeral at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're sitting there, and it was great to see everybody. I'm trying to think. I believe it was, God bless her, my niece that pointed this out to me. She said, "Have you seen the office of the owner of this place?" And I said, "No." And she said, "You have got to see this."
Oh, no.
Now, in the very back, and you come in the family entrance, you're back where all the workings are, right?
Right.
The secret doors and all that.
Yeah.
But at the top of the stairs, next to that, you come up a flight of stairs. They do a lot of the work down below. And but the fact is, at the top of the stairs, immediately to the right, there is an office.
Okay.
And she mentioned this to me in passing. I probably wasn't tracking with it until we got there the day of the calling hours, because I went back and I looked, and I walked down the hallway, and the door is open, and it's okay, nobody's around here, nobody's paying attention, I'm gonna walk in, and I walk into the office of this funeral parlor owner. And now you can hit it, because I'm not going to be able to successfully describe what I saw. The first thing I can tell you that strikes, there is a giant bay window in the back with a seating area, like
a window seat. Sure.
But the window seat is not for sitting. The window seat has been...
Dramatic pause. Wow, I can't wait to hear what the window seat's all about. Let us take a break, and when we return, we will hear all about this window seat. Good God, what could it be? We'll have the answer when we return. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, let me go down the list. Let's see. I've got clips from the Mike O'Mara Show, the Bonus Show, the Tony Perkins Show, the Robin Joe Show, Cake and Cookies, probably not. Tech 411, doubtful. What am I missing? I'm missing something. Oh, wait, I'm missing you, the listener. You can be on Omericast. So why don't you reach out through Facebook at facebook.com/Omericast or on Twitter at Omericast and let me know that you want to be on the show. Come on, let's talk about all the fun shows on More Broadcasting and have a great time getting to know each other. Or I'm going to be stuck talking to Mermelstein again. And remember, if you just want to listen, you can always download us directly on the TMOS app.
Sir, I'll come on. Call me.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to come back.
You're ready to do the big crossover?
Looking forward to it. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com. Are you hiring?
Hiring.
Hire that man. If you are, listen up. Hiring the best people is not an easy thing. I think you probably know that if you do that. Posting your job in one place, that's not enough to find the top quality candidates. You need an edge. You need ZipRecruiter.com. Hire that man. ZipRecruiter.com allows you to post your jobs on all the top job sites all at once. Imagine posting your job to over 100 job sites, including social media like Facebook and Twitter, with a single click, everybody. You can find candidates in any city and any industry, and you can do it nationwide. Forget about juggling emails and calls to your office. Just one post, and all the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter.com's easy-to-use interface. Then you just screen them, rate them, and hire the right person.
Hire that man.
It makes it easy to find the best. ZipRecruiter.com has been used by over 800,000 businesses, and you can try it right now absolutely free. That's right. You can try ZipRecruiter today, and it's free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. Try it for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. And I think, really, no matter how small your business is, you still want to get the best person. So
you see, the most, the easiest is the best way to go.
So when we left you, I was telling you that I walk into this office, and I look on the back, and I see the first thing you see on this window seat with the bay window,
right,
is a sculpture of a bird. I have to point out, when I'm making observations about this office, when I'm making observations, I know I'm probably not supposed to be in there.
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm probably not supposed to be creeping around in this office.
Certainly without a huge hooded robe, because that's what people normally wear.
Well,
back
you don't
there.
Know. You don't know if somebody's gonna. Yes. You don't know if somebody's gonna creep in and be there. And so I'm in and out, and I'm scared. I don't want to stay in there. I'm scared because of the way the office looks. There's this bird that looks like a falcon or a raven with its wings outstretched, and that's the first thing you see against the backdrop of the window, and that looks scary. And then you see figurines.
Oh no!
Old photographs. It is.
What type of figurines?
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because as I go in, the first thing I see was just the overall impression of the office, which looks a little bit like something you would see in Mr. Potter's office in It's a Wonderful Life.
So it's very old school.
Very old school. And I walk in, and it's got the bird, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it just makes that impression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling when you're describing something like the Addams Family. Very dark.
Yes.
Lots of curiosities, as they used to call them in the turn of the century.
Okay, so three separate people now, and I'm not going to mention the cousins or the family members that I showed this to, or my buddy Joey, who I showed it to. Everybody looks in and observes different things. And because it was this day...
Oh, so you guys are like sending people back
one at a time? Like little kids.
Like little kids.
I said, thank you so much for coming. It's great. You're going to see this.
Like, this is strangely like the plot of Stand By Me.
I want to show you something.
Follow the train tracks. I'm going to show you something.
And as I do this, I don't know who mentions different things to me, but someone at one point comes up to me and says... Did you see the dolls?
the dolls.
Whoa. Did you see that? Now, as far as I know, this is a dude.
Yes.
This is a dude that has this. And he said, a person says, did you see the dolls? So I go back in again on my own and open the, there it is. Yeah. Louder. Thank you. Louder. And I walk in and I look to the left and there is a cabinet. And on the left of the cabinet are those creepy-ass dolls that you see in every the horror
porcelain
movie.
Porcelain dolls.
Annabelle. Annabelle.
They're porcelain
Annabelle.
Dolls,
Annabelle.
Oscar.
Annabelle.
Annabelle. Annabelle is in this Annabelle guy's office.
I've seen it.
Now, I've already creepy. Made multiple peek-ins, but I'm talking peek-ins where I don't linger in there because I'm afraid of it.
Of course.
I don't want to go in there. I don't want to stay in there. So I look in and I see, oh, my God, dolls. Dolls on the left. And so then... I by the way, it's fine. It's what it is. It might be the whole place has kind of an antique vibe to it, and it's actually lovely.
It's
a very nice place.
One of my
we should all go.
If you're in town, make sure you see the dolls.
I recommend it highly.
One of my really long running fears in my life is wax museums, and I think I have a problem with seeing things that look real that aren't.
A likeness.
And so that's why I have a thing against open casket funerals. Maybe this guy really likes still frozen faces.
Who knows? I don't know what it is. I don't know whose office it is. I don't know what it is. I'm just showing people because that's how I'm dealing with
and
my
And you're
group,
sure
okay?
they
I'm
weren't sure embalmed sure. people. They were dolls.
No, they were dolls.
Okay,
they were
good.
Bitty, little bitty dolls. With
it was chills.
In a
so
cabinet.
Then the last thing that I observe is I decide I'm going to get one because, the things are winding down.
Right.
This was my comic relief for the day. This was my chance to just get away. And by the way, the people that worked there could not have been any more opposite of this. They couldn't have been nicer, and they were so kind.
They were like
so
the Californians,
sweet.
Weren't they?
They were. No, they were not like the Californians. Thank you. Hey, Mike, where are you? Somebody says to me, what are you doing here?
How are you mourning today?
Yeah, okay, you want to take the 93 to the Mass Pike? Or you... No, so... So I'm sitting there, and I'm one of the last trips. Yeah, just when you thought it couldn't get creepier, I step into the office one more time because I'm getting braver every time I stop by.
Sure,
because nobody's calling me on it.
Because you're cheating death.
And the door's open, almost for a reason. I don't know. You never know. I give people credit sometimes. Maybe everybody's doing this. Maybe everybody's getting a little of the comic relief.
Did the door seem to open on its own power? Come
well,
in.
I noticed you were looking around and very curious. Perhaps you'd like to stay a little longer. Yes. So I finally do my last little step, and I step deeper into the office this time.
Oh, God.
Because I want to look at... But I'm not... I'm telling you, 10 seconds is a long time, if you're talking about the amount of time. Because I look in, and I'm like, let me get out.
Because you would really have no excuse...
Right.
If anyone saw you in there, you couldn't even say, "Oh, I lost my sense of direction."
No,
because you came out of a hallway into an office
multiple times.
Yeah, I've been there. I've been there twice now. I've been there the day, the day, the horrible day, and then I'm there for the calling hours, and then so one of the last step ins that I do, I look in and I turn around and I get deeper into the office and I turn and I see, and on the wall, facing the desk, I ask you not, is a wall. Of video screens.
And they are
security video screens. And they're showing every single thing. And I suddenly now I've got the different vibe going.
Yeah.
Now I've got the totally different.
Yeah.
Now it's just it's totally freaking me out there.
Oh yeah. It's weird.
Well, because they say it's for their security.
Right.
But it's really a monitoring device.
I picture after hours it's like,
hello, Peter. You might wonder why you're being kept in this room.
No, who is that? What are you doing?
It's me, Jigsaw. I'm Jigsaw, and I'm keeping you
here. It was the creepiest
black
thing
and white
I've
or
ever.
In color.
It was they were color.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's
nice.
Somehow not as
century.
Not as scary though.
No, and it's probably for the whole monitoring the whole business. But it was freaky.
Hey, Dad,
freaky,
number 28 freaky. Moved. Look at number 28. He's setting up.
Yeah, it was.
What's is it a viewing? Usually a 4 hour. Is it a 5
can
hour?
It can vary. It can vary. Okay. We did an hour and a half before the we didn't do 2 hours because we thought we'd get a cover and everything was like because my mom set it up and
clockwork.
My sister helped. It was perfection.
Perfect.
And it was great.
That's great.
Although I will tell you, and I still feel that way today to a certain extent. I'm a little ramped up. I'm a little emotional, and I'm a little anxiety laden. That's how I would describe myself.
Well, I would imagine it's that feeling you get when a load you've been bearing, it's sort of a mental load, has been lifted.
No, because it's just seeing Pony again.
And he gets all three.
You have to think of your own mortality, right?
Yeah, well, you do. And
he's
greatest
fun,
line,
isn't he?
Well, that's what happens.
I know.
That is a brilliant assessment because you think about it and you do because the last parent, and in the words of my cousin John, who said, well, that's it. We're all in the on-deck circle now. And that is the truest I've ever heard.
It's
but that's
very
not
true.
Why
but
I'm
also, you're of that on-deck circle, of that generation. Aren't you the baby of that generation?
Yes, I am.
So thanks you'll live the longest. You'll live the longest.
No. It's a physical condition has a lot to do with it.
Well, Mike, all
well.
You have to do is, it's like the old joke. You don't have to outrun the tiger. You just have to outrun the other guy.
Well, at the
all you have to do is at least be the second.
You know what? At the reception afterwards, if you had saw the O'Mara boys standing around the cookie tray... You know, and it was one of those multi-tiered cookie trays.
Sure.
And I'd pretty much seen my dear childhood friend Joey is over there with his wife, and he got the ladies from the assisted living facility in the corner. And so, you know, I looked over to him, and he gave me one of these thumbs up. Oh, dude, I didn't mean to put you there. That's where you ended up. You know, that's how that worked out. But then once I'd greeted everybody, I allowed myself to go back into my regular modus operandi, which is eating my emotions. That's
yeah. What cookies were there? What cookies?
Were they shaped like bats? Oh,
it's funny you bring this up. So they had these lattice. No, we were out of the place now. We were in a beautiful little inn, which was right. And they could not have been nicer. And I'd knocked back a couple of mimosas and, you know, ready to go. Easy peasy. It was going to be fine. They had these little kind of chocolate chip, but they were lace kind of sugary cookies.
Nice.
And I was knocking. I said, you've got to try these. Really good. Because what are you doing at a function like that other than...
You're grieving.
You're grieving, and you're also acknowledging your own existence. And in my case, that means eating a few of my emotions. That's what that's
I think
that's
it's
what it begins.
Always nice when there's a spread like that. I think it's a great way to socialize because you know what? You can socialize at the visitation hours.
Food allows that to happen.
I'll always credit Jimmy Cerrito, who when his mother passed, I guess about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did not attend the reception.
The reception afterwards was in an elementary school, and there was an open bar with hard liquor. So, I mean,
we
I
had
thought
an open
that
bar.
Was,
we had an open fantastic. Bar at ours.
Wings.
Yeah. No, more pasta.
That was a determination we made was the open bar. And I think the, you know, if they're, you're talking about
I know you
receptions.
Probably said no. Who said yes?
Absolutely not. We will not be drinking. No, it was, you know, it was noonish.
Yeah.
12:30-ish. And so, you know, it worked and the mimosas were flowing.
Good.
I think I may have made one dickish comment to the bartender when she poured me my mimosa and I took a sip and I went, we're not in Florida with that orange juice.
Oh,
Well, it's just me.
I'm Mike O'Mara from Big Citrus. You're really not serving my state well.
I noticed it. I will tell you, I am every bit, I'm every inch Florida. I am every inch Florida. I love it. This is home. I'm comfortable when I'm here. I like the rhythm here. I like to be here. That's it. I spend some time in New England as well, but there are two things that I made two determinations. I love where I live. This is a good place for me. And the second one is I'm not a city guy. I am not a city guy.
Because you were staying in Boston when you were up there,
at
right?
At my sister's place in the middle of the city because the city is designed for everybody to be little. The city, as Oscar, is our city dweller.
Yes.
He's little. Everyone in the city is little. They have little homes. They have little cars that they get their little bodies into. You, Rob, live in the suburbs.
Of course I do.
Where there are bigger homes and you drive.
Bigger parking spots, everything.
Bigger parking spots, more space, and more room in your car. Pony would be perfect for the city because he's little. You should move into the city, Pony. Because
okay.
But the thing, yes, as Oscar will testify, but as you will testify, also living in the city can be problematic because it's costly. It's costly.
It is costly. Very costly.
And Boston is more costly than when you where you live in,
absolutely.
In D.C. So I was not totally comfortable. And then at my sister's place, and she's got a very nice place, the last night we were there, we had, I don't want to call it an incident, But we had a moment of fear again, you know. So it's a question really great send off, you know, peppered by about, a little fear.
About your sister's place, yes. I know it is right
it's vertical,
right in the middle of everything. It's very vertical.
It's vertical,
and it is. It's all, has all the modern conveniences. Is it an
all
older,
beautifully appointed?
Is it an older structure though? Is it an,
it
older,
is an older
house
structure? Like oh, the, so it's like gentrification. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is an older structure that has been renovated. That's what they all do there. And you know, when I refer when I visit my sister, I refer to her house as the treadmill and stairmaster. That's where, well, I'm going up to the stair. And Kathy, when my sister looks at me with my brother-in-law, who is fit and
right,
almost 10 years older than I am, and, you know, 20 years younger with his level of fitness, as I limp out of my rental car, you know, they will say that when you hear them say this, it's just a short walk. We'll go to that place for lunch. It's just a short walk. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Because there's no such effing thing as a short. And I didn't bring, because it's the funeral, I didn't bring sneakers. I brought hard school
hard
shoes.
Hard shoes.
I brought my hard school shoes.
The hardest that, shoes in town.
Yes, right. Yeah, yeah. I've got bone spurs in my eyeballs after a weekend at that house. I'll tell you all about our last night there and the city of Boston, which I, you know, I love. Happy opening day in Cleveland. Good stuff. And incidentally, Cleveland and baseball will be featured in news you may not know.
Oh, good.
So, and it's a food story. You'll love it. We'll take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
What a smile. What a smile. What a smile. How are you walking?
Little Van Morrison.
Love
man,
it.
Man, oh, man. I good love stuff. Van Morrison. Rob, there is a track from Van Morrison, which is Moondance, and it is a live version. I think it was recorded in San Francisco, and it is a big band in back of him. Not a big band, but he's got a horn section in back
okay
of him. And it starts out with this jazzy, it's not, well, it's a wonderful day
right, right
for Ramon. It starts kind of like with that vibe, that kind of.
We'll have it tomorrow. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
Brown Eyes.
If you can find that.
Brown Eyes. What?
Brown Eyed Girl, you mean?
Oh, Brown Eyed Girl, yeah.
Yes, Old Brown Eyes. That was Frank Sinatra after the Mexican restaurant.
Very good. We're back. Jeez. God help me. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show, Brown Eye, brought to you by Tracker. Tracker. Oscar, do you have your Tracker? I have mine, but I use mine. But the Tracker, we all live in an era of smart cars, smartphones, but you lose stuff. Everybody loses things,
yes,
and it can make smart people feel really stupid. Oscar is showing you the Tracker. Losing things now a thing of the past thanks to Tracker. I have one. Rob has one. They're fantastic. Do you have yours yet? Did you get yours yet?
Oh, yeah. It's on Linus's collar because we always lose Linus's collar.
Rob brings up a good point.
Carrie takes it off all the time, and so we can't find it. Not anymore.
You can find misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers. All you do is pair Tracker to your smartphone. You attach it to anything like your dog, your keys, your wallet, and you can find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's that easy. And here's what I like best about it, because I lose this too. If you lose your phone, then you press the button on Tracker itself, and your phone will ring so you can find both of them, even when it's on silent. Never lose anything again, thanks to Tracker. TMOS listeners get a special 30% discount off their entire order. Just go to thetracker.com and enter the promo code TMOS. That's thetracker.com. The hardest thing you'll ever have to find is their website. Go to thetracker.com right now and use the promo code for 30% off. That's thetracker.com, code TMOS. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And we're having a wonderful day here, aren't we? And I forgot what I was
saying. You're going to talk about the fact that you had not a fight, not an altercation, but something about city life
yes,
that threw
city
you.
Living.
Well, it just is vertical. And so from the where I pull my car in, which is in the back alley in back of her house, to
ooh, she has
the
parking
to the case she's got parking. Yeah, she's got well
premium.
she has one
yes,
one and, parking spot,
and her her daughter lives close by and she has one. I use the extra one near her daughter's.
Nice.
Did the daughter not have a car?
No, she has a car, but there's an extra one that they that's
oh
not
I see so, I yeah see
so it's premium at a parking, and then you park so it's like one flight of stairs that are really super vertical stairs. They're not your,
right?
You know the stairs. Remember in the old house,
they're old timey stairs.
I was going to say the stairs that led to your kitchen.
Yeah,
the stairs that led to your kitchen in Manassas that were really you had to sign a waiver before you.
Those
used
same
them
stairs are the type of stairs I have in the home that I'll be moving into in May.
Oh, that's
because
nice. I'll be
old
sending
old
you a card.
Yes. And people were more fit in those days, and they climbed better.
I think they had computers doing the math.
I think that might be part of it. Yes. I think that might be part of it. Also, I think that, remember, back then, people died younger, and it's because of those stairs. It's not because of advances in medicine. It's because people fell down a lot.
So to give you an idea, so there's one set of stairs that goes to where the bedroom is, and then there's another set of stairs that goes up to where the kitchen is and the living room. So I walk in, and I said, hello. I said, up in the kitchen. And I go,
no. Of all places, how dare they?
And incidentally,
meet me in the bedroom.
These are stairs.
Smokes.
I live down here in Rascal Alley, okay?
Sure.
I live down here where stairs are really not part of my life.
Rascal Alley.
Rascal Alley. Yeah, when I go up to Maine, I got two flights. I got to, you know, I got the flight to go at the back of my house and then up to the BR. So, but it's nothing like this. This is a climb. They might as well have, I wish they had better handles, you know? I wish they had, you know,
rails?
Yeah, but then coming down, it's just like when I'm coming down those stairs, especially like first thing in the morning, if I do a quick run up to the kitchen and then go back down to my bedroom, it's just like knee. Knee. And that's what really that if you know what? I just got the perfect sound because there's a vibration that happens when I'm coming down from the kitchen. So if you hear me at say 7 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, this is what you would hear. That's me, like, with these odd steps, because sometimes I do the one leg at a time.
Yeah, side to side. Sure.
Because if I thunder down anyway, it's the
Dick Van Dyke said the secret to staying young is to walk forward down steps. He said the minute you start going sideways to allow, that's when you start aging. So you need to walk forward down steps.
Well, Dick Van Dyke should have been with me 17 years ago. Seriously, Dick Van Dyke should have known that I was doing the side stair step when I was when I graduated American University.
So we will not see you singing along to Chim Chim Cheree.
And this is funny you're bringing this up because when we move into this house, we were going to have a second bedroom, right?
Right.
Which will be an office, but I thought that's a place maybe you could stay when you come into town if
actually,
you want to stay
Mike,
with us.
Oh,
right?
You know what? That would save the show an amazing amount of money. Oh, that would be no.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought it would have been nice. And then after hearing the stair bit, I was like, there's no way he's going to want to come over.
Unless we could put the zip in the room.
So he only has to go anywhere.
Yeah, he could just climb the stairs once.
When I come into town the end of May, I want the Kimpton Hotel deal.
It'll be ready by then.
Do you think we'll be? Because that lady's been talking to us for a long time.
She said it's going to take time, but it's been almost 6 months, so we're almost ready.
Okay, let's. Yeah. We'll have that during our meeting tomorrow.
Mayday.
That'll be on the left.
But
the
the idea of being older and living in the city, I feel like the city makes you stay in shape because you can walk everywhere.
Or you die.
Kathy and Paul are in shape because they've always been in shape.
Oh, okay.
And if Paul's not running, he's biking 21 miles or 80. He did a marathon, a bike thing that I think it was an 81-mile ride. That he did for this. So Paul's in incredible shape. Kathy's in incredible. And they walk and they fast walk.
Sure.
And I'm fine. I can do the walking. I walked 5 miles when I was in Boston the weekend my mom passed away.
Wow.
So no, just a short time ago. Okay. I did five miles. I had the right footwear. This was going to be basically 24 hours and we're back on a plane and I'm packing a carry-on. I didn't want to do, and we haven't even gotten to that. I'll get that in a second. The airlines.
Shoes, by the way, bone you. Because if you want to take more than, let's say, you want to take sneakers and dress shoes, you have to allot for which one you're going to wear on the plane because you can't put two in that bag.
And also, you've probably got the smallest feet of any of us, so your shoes take up the least room. I have to check my shoes individually. They each need a tag.
Put that on the scale, Mr. Spiewak.
That is there a 52-pound Reebok. We're going to need $25.
So the house they have is lovely. It's a wonderful house. However,
it was
next
lovely.
Door, it was lovely. Saturday night before we're flying back, this is how the whole... This is all one giant related thing that happened.
Okay.
This is the night before. Everything's done. We went out, had a magnificent dinner with the family. Couldn't have been sweeter.
How many? I'm curious.
My 10 of us.
Wow,
my daughters.
Good crowd.
My niece, my nephew, and their husbands and wives, and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law and Carla. We
what a fun dinner.
That'd be great.
It was spectacular.
Celebration.
Mom would have
really,
loved
yeah.
it. Mom would have. That was the time. We all just had a great time. But it was relatively, you know, I think I was in bed by 11:30 midnight, and then. That night, between midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning, there were multiple screaming, loud yelling outside, 5 inches from our window. I knew because she's got these shutters that are on the window. We're down at the ground. By the way, we're street level. That's where the window is. It's right on the street.
Okay.
So I walk over. And I open up the shutters just ever so slightly.
Is it got the kind of thing where you can like pull a stick and all the slats
yes.
move?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do it. It's so
slow.
Loud.
Yeah.
It's
slow.
So loud. Like and instantly, there's an element Columbo. Around that neighborhood. They're in the city. You're in the middle of the city.
Sure.
It's not all going to be like, hello, hi, what school do you go to? You got a little element down there. And so I open it up.
Irish
I
mob.
Looking, I am no. I am immediately looking at feet.
Ooh.
I'm looking at bare feet. And a cigarette going.
Oh.
And you know what time it is? It's 3:30 in the morning. And all I hear is, I'm going to call 911. I'm going to call 911. I'm going to call 911. And I'm like, I'm just going to go over Carla. And I'm going to peek outside. And I open up. And when I thought I'd see somebody across the street. What
right.
I see is someone literally, I'm 3 feet away from the cigarette butt.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out there and I'm like, I don't know what they're doing, but I don't want to say anything because I'm a scared suburban person. I don't want to do this.
Were you more scared with the feet in the cigarette or with the haunted dolls in the funeral home? Which was scarier?
The feet in the cigarette.
Okay, yeah. Definitely, because that was
much
definite
more
pressing danger.
Yeah, much more immediate
But
danger.
Mike, the
yeah,
squirrel absolutely. And you had to know.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
had to know what was going on. But
right.
in Manassas, you remember, you were actually ballsier in Manassas. You would walk outside.
Like, he was a
yeah,
much younger
there.
Man then.
I live there. I'm not familiar. There's a lot of. Let me tell you something. Within 4 square miles
ago.
Of where they live, there's a lot of crazy in that city.
Sure.
There's
a lot of crazy
in that city.
I got a text this morning because Todd and his wonderful girlfriend Marissa were kind enough to take me out for my birthday on Saturday night. And
can you tell us all about your birthday? I'd like to hear all about it.
Just briefly, when we went out to dinner and afterwards, we were close to the home we're going to move in May, right?
Right.
In Georgetown. And so he goes, let's walk there. And I said, it's freezing. It's snowing here, Mike. The weather is.
Yeah, we got some April snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dealt with that yesterday.
And I said, all right, if you guys want to walk, we can walk. So we walk. And I said, look, we haven't even closed on this place yet. They're a bunch of drunkards. We're hammered. And
right.
I said, and these houses are
drunkards, Mike. They're drunkards.
And
these
houses are so close to each other that the neighbors are going to know if someone's outside.
Of
right?
course. Right.
So at the top of the street, I say, shh, we don't want to ruin this. So when we get down there, it was nothing but us cackling and
of
laughing,
course.
Trying.
Ruining it. You were ruining it.
Trying to get into the lockbox because we're 12 years old to get into the house.
Hold it, you mean the key?
The
yes. box that holds the key
yes.
with like the refrigerator? You can't get into that. That's why it's a lockbox.
Oh, and by
they
the way,
they were drunk.
Originally, I was going to say that won't screw up the deal. Hey, trying to break into the house that you haven't closed on. Yes, that will screw up the deal.
Yeah, we'll find
absolutely.
Out. No one lived there. No,
oh,
maybe they do.
God.
Who knows? But I got a text message this morning from the realtor, and I saw it pop up, and I said...
He said, the lockbox is covered with scratches.
I said, ruh-roh. And I looked out, and I said, please, baby Jesus, please let him not know it was us. There's a lot of people in that town.
Sure.
And I looked down, she goes... I'm just checking in, making sure everything's on time. And
right.
I said, oh, thank God she hasn't heard a word yet. Not a peep.
That's good. Awesome.
We made a ruckus. Yeah. Like, knocked on the door. Did all kinds of things.
You did not knock on the door.
Do you need me to write one of those fake letters for you?
Oh, please write her a fake letter.
Yeah,
a reference.
That's right. Yeah.
He wasn't here.
Oscar's made $1 million with the Mike O'Mara Show for over 10 years
yes.
now.
Signed Representative Mike O'Mara, D, 10th District.
That international transfer was there 2 months ago. It's a lot of explanation.
You know, we got that weather, by the way, in Boston.
I was thinking about you this morning because it was right. You were right in the thick of it.
Yeah, it was so we didn't get any sleep at all. It was horrible. They were loud. I wasn't going to go outside and say, "Could you be quiet, please? And we're trying to get some sleep."
You can't call the cops either. Then you're making a big thing about it. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I was tempted. There was a moment where I said, you know, just a simple 911 and give them the wrong address.
No, but Mike,
give them the house next door.
Don't you know that all the Boston cops are on the take?
And Mike, you were going to give them the wrong address?
Well, I was going to give him the house next door, which I knew that that's you know, that's got a different number.
Perfect.
And I was going to give
because
him that.
They don't have caller ID.
I know. I noodled that through. I noodled that through. Thank you very much.
And
I
if
did
you
that.
If the number you're seeing on your car ID ends in a 6, it's actually
what
a 7.
Would be great is if they come, the cop car arrives, and then Mike's like, oh. You know, some justice. Finally, we get
exactly.
some sleep. But instead of walking up to the barefoot woman with the cigarette, they walk up the stairs to the front door of Kathy's home and ring the doorbell to make sure that everything's okay.
Oh, I didn't want, and they're in the front of the house, so I didn't want to deal. I was in the street side.
Of course.
And I was dealing with this. And then, so it was over, but we were exhausted. And by the way,
does Carl like city life?
No, we both decided we didn't dig it.
Because I saw her run. Did she run in the city? Because running in the city
she
is
ran
fun.
In the city. Yeah,
she was
everywhere.
Trying to get out of the city.
Yeah, look, she made note of the fact that she came back from one of the runs and she said, man, there are so many good looking people in this city. Speaking about the men in the city.
Oh,
and I had something in my mouth and I said, I'm happy for you. But anyway, so. That's exactly what I said. I think I was eating a scone.
Yeah. Congratulations,
Carla. Blueberry jam on it. Yeah,
Carla, congratulations. There's a phone built right. There's a camera built right into your phone. Go nuts.
Yeah,
help yourself.
Crazy. See if you can find any Bobby Cannavale's out there. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
No. Bobby Cannavale is out of control. When you see this week's final.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Yeah, something to look forward to. I'll watch it tonight. I can't wait. So the bottom line is the night before we were dealing with this, even before we went to bed, we had seen what amounted to a problematic forecast. The first of 3 Clipper systems is coming through. And by the way, the weathermen up in Boston with their joyous discussion of these Clippers, I wanted to reach in. I wanted to kill these
guys.
So
they're as bad as DC people? They still root for snow up there?
Super happy. Hey, a Clipper system.
Shocks me.
So they're going to be 25 to 35 mile an hour winds with 40 mile an hour wind gusts. When we woke up in the morning, I'm Johnny Phobic Flyer. They said, oh no, now they've modified the forecast a little bit. Oh good, thank God. They always overshoot the rain. Winds are going to come in. This system's going to be gone before it's here. But behind it, we're going to have 65 to 70 mile an hour wind gusts.
Wow.
Now you saw this on the news, the trees that were knocked down by this system. And I'm just stunned that we're going to fly out in this, but check my flight. We're on time. My girls are on a flight to D.C. at 10 o'clock. We're on a 9:30 flight, and then we get down to the little lounge, which they might as well call the senior center, because guess what? All those people that I said were leaving, no, they're going the other way,
of course.
Plane is chock full of them with their little dogs.
Mike.
They're tiny little bastard dogs, all in their arms, all pressing for it. Do you know how many times in our lounge that accommodated an Airbus A320, which is what, 100 and some odd, well
yeah.
over 100 seats,
big plane.
And there's a lounge of 17 at Logan Airport, and there, you know how many times the gate attendant had to say, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to clear a path, you're going to have to clear a path, because old people are twitchy, and they're waiting to get on their plane, and Carl and I, by the way, got to the airport early and stood, because every seat was taken in this lounge by the octogenarians that got there at 4 o'clock in the morning. We're standing the whole time in one spot. By the time it was ready to board, and by the way, I popped for the extra legroom, okay? So that allows you to get on the plane first.
Nice.
But it was hard to get through to get on the plane, not first, probably third or fourth. They're people with extra need, then they're the some sort of program they have, and then the extra legroom we can get on. It's a great perk. Not worth it, but it's a perk that
understood.
How often does your mom die? Okay,
right.
I pop for the extra legroom, and they're storming the front. And people are storming the front. This isn't just old people. This is everybody.
Everybody. They funnel. They all funnel. There's no line. There's a funnel.
It's like, sit the hell. You know, and you're going to have to board the plane. They're not going to let you on the plane unless you have the right row number, because they do it in sections and all that. But everybody is quiet. She made 4 announcements. Ladies and gentlemen, she finally says, I'm going to say it one more time. We need to board this plane efficiently, and if you are going to all stand in the front of the section here, we're not going to be able to do that. And no one listens.
Of course
not.
No
one moves an inch. Mm. They're so friggin' entitled. They just, and they're standing there, but then we finally get on the plane, and it was, let me see, the plane was scheduled to leave at 9:30. We waited 40 minutes for a flight attendant to come in from another flight.
That was
not a pilot, not a co-pilot, a flight attendant. We waited 40 minutes.
A skirt.
Yeah.
When we get on the plane, they
some
said,
broad.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the flight deck, you'll notice the weather outside. We're going to get off as soon as we can here, but unfortunately, we have to get in line to be de-iced before takeoff.
Oh, so and you've got 40 extra first. Minutes of ice
yes,
because of the late
of
because of the late broad.
Because of the late broad that was there. And, by the way, these pilots, how they landed in this crap in whiteout conditions and took off in 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, I don't know. I wasn't drinking anything. I was not a pleasant person to be around.
It's misogyny says, Monday.
Yeah, Carla. At one point, Carla looks over at me and says, I think we should say a little prayer. I'm like, shut up! Don't you know that I'm a phobic flyer? Don't you know
Mike,
that I'm a
phobic flyer? You misinterpreted what she was saying. Is she thinks she'd like to say a prayer for herself.
Yeah,
prayer because for herself she was on a plane with you.
Prayer for herself to date some of those gorgeous men from Boston, Bobby Cannavale. So we get de-iced. We get de-iced.
Yes.
We finally take off. It's not as bumpy as I thought it would be.
Good.
I'm allowing myself to relax. Watch the Golf Channel all the way from Boston down to Florida. Was completely in my element. I was great. We land, and it's like we're, you know, let me see. We're supposed to land probably at 12:30, 1 o'clock. We're there more like 2:30, 3 o'clock. You know, and so we land, and then the greatest thing, when you've had an hour and a half, two-hour flight delay, you land, you're there, sunny Florida, here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, it'll be 15 to 20 minutes while we wait for one of our gates to open.
Oh, it's like, no. Thank you. The airline experience from start to finish. Bone, 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 bone.
That leg room was handy, though.
Yes,
all that
yes,
extra
was.
Time.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have gotten a blood clot. Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Perkins.
I'm Gary Stein.
Hey, Gary, do you remember that time the teacher hit you in the face with an eraser?
You're not supposed to bring that up.
I know. Gary was a bad boy and a bad student.
I wasn't a bad boy. I was just bad in school.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Also, my great fear of quicksand.
You've got to be kidding me.
I kid you not. And the battle of the bad songs. Check it all out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave a 5-star review. And download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
This sounds like a very strange show.
The Tony Perkins Show.
I'd love to know why Tony's afraid of quicksand.
I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. I actually was listening to the podcast on the way in. They
Very
didn't
good.
Get to it yet. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. Hey, do you like what you're hearing? Well, if you like this, you will love our bonus shows. Each and every week, we record a 6th episode of the show, uncensored, commercial-free, and it can be yours if you subscribe to the 2016 TMOS bonus package. Subscribe for a full year of bonus, and you'll get full access to all of the 16 bonus content and access to the entire anthology. You save over 25%. And really, this is another way that we keep this show going, folks. Every little bit helps, so please, you will love the bonus show content. I promise you that. And it's also a way to help your favorite podcast. When you subscribe, you get the entire year of access from the day you sign up. With our special feed creator, even access your content from iTunes or pretty much any other podcast app in town. It couldn't be easier. Whether you want to buy it or give it or renew it, click that bonus banner and get it done. The TMOS bonus package. Please order it today.
News.
Drew Barrymore.
Hey, there's a name you don't hear much Ooh. Anymore.
I thought I'd leave with her. I think she's a big enough star. Her husband, Will Koppelman, they're getting divorced after almost 4 years of marriage. She is 41, he is 38. There were rumors about it late last week, and they confirmed it on Saturday. According to a friend, they've been having problems for a while and couldn't agree on where to live. Will is an art consultant in New York. And his dad used to be the CEO of Chanel. So I guess he's a
moneyed,
rich guy.
Moneyed guy.
But Drew was spending more and more time at their place in L.A. Their statement said, quote, they are separating legally, but still think of each other. That's the Drew. But still think of each other as family. They have a three-year-old named Olive and another daughter named Frankie, who turns two this month. Always sad when there are children involved.
So pleased you went there, because I was going to ask, who will get custody of the retainer?
The retainer. Thank you, Drew. That's very sad. American Idol is ending its 15-season run with a three-night finale this week. As part of the fanfare, they're celebrating the previous seasons, especially the first seven or eight when the show was at its peak. Back then, you didn't even need to win the show to launch a career, and several contestants did just that. Here's a list. It's a list of 16 best losers. I will give you the top nine because once you get to 10, I didn't know anybody because that's it. Number nine, you remember him? Constantine Maroulis.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Constantine.
Yeah, people remember him.
Yeah, long-haired guy. Yeah.
He only finished sixth in season four. That's one. I like that one. Number eight is Tori Kelly. Do you know Tori Kelly?
I don't know that one. Sounds familiar.
That one would have to be towards the end of the run, because I don't remember.
Season nine. Yeah, nobody knows her. Number seven, remember her? Kelly Pickler.
Yes. Oh, she's box.
She finished in fifth place in season five. She's still doing it.
Yeah.
Number six, David Archuleta. Remember that little... That little boy.
You know, he has a no career now. He sits on the shelf at Christmas time and watches children.
Tori Kelly, by the way, is an actual artist that's touring right now.
Really?
She's pretty famous. She totally didn't put two and two together. Yes.
Okay. All right. David Archuleta was the runner-up on season seven. Number five, Catherine McPhee.
Yes.
Maybe the hottest contestant ever. Best looking. Yeah.
And a huge career. She was the runner-up on season five. Number four, here he is, Clay Aiken. Clay Aiken was the runner-up. I always thought he won. He lost to
Reuben, and also now a politician.
Yeah, okay, ran for Congress. Number three, Chris Daughtry.
Yeah, Daughtry.
I saw him, I think, opening for a band over the summer.
I saw him in Arizona. That's really? How great it was. Like, he played a big venue.
Wow.
Daughtry.
Finished in fourth place on season five. Number two, Adam Lambert. Everybody remembers that guy. Yeah.
Oh, he'll be fine as long as Queen is touring.
He was the runner-up on season eight, and he's made a name for himself touring with Queen. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, number one, would you like to try to guess?
Of the losers?
This person finished in seventh place on season three.
God, it's not...
You'd never know it.
It's not Sanjaya, is it?
It is not Sanjaya, no. This
I
is
don't know.
The 16 best losers. This is the number one
Fantasia?
Best loser.
Seventh place?
No.
The You're Velvet close. Teddy
You're
Bear?
Getting closer. No.
No, because Reuben won. I give up. Who?
Jennifer Hudson.
Of course.
Yes. Academy Award.
Yeah.
Man.
Pretty amazing that she was seven. That must have been a hell of a year.
You know, that show really did throw us a lot of talent before it all fell through the cracks. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Guns N' Roses performed a surprise warm-up gig at a small place called the Troubadour in West Hollywood. It's not that small. I know that place. On Friday night, it was the first time they played together publicly in more than 22 years. That would have been cool.
That'd be neat.
That. Mm. I'm not even a Guns N' Roses fan, but I'd like to see that. There were about 250 people in the crowd, and naturally it included a random assortment of celebrities like Jim Carrey, Nicolas Cage, Chris Brown, Lenny Kravitz, Michelle Rodriguez, Emily Ratajkowski, the one with the boobs.
Yes.
Along with Bradley Cooper and his mom.
Oh, Mrs. Cooper.
What's the deal with Bradley Cooper?
What the hell the deal with Pony and his mom? You know, I mean, just some people like their moms.
They did 17 songs, and people seem to agree that they all sounded good. So that's
great. That's going
to
be a killer tour.
It was nice to see the mic packs with all the names on there.
Yes.
That was cool. That was the coolest picture I saw all weekend.
A company called Nutribox has started selling a product called Go Cubes. They are little gummy cubes of chewable coffee.
Oh, no. No.
Go
Each
cubes.
One has 50 milligrams of caffeine, so eating two of them will give you the same amount of caffeine as a regular cup of Joe. You'll need to eat like five or six to equal a cup of Starbucks, but whatever. Did you see the bit on the Today Show with Kerry Saunders? No. Jeff Rawson.
Yeah, the guy who's really, he might as well just give up. He might as well resign. We went Starbucks to Starbucks and measured the contents of the
cups. This one has 14 ounces. Yeah, thanks for changing the world. The Go Cubes come in three flavors, pure drip, mocha, and latte. The cost isn't crazy. If you buy their cheapest option, which is six four packs, it'll set you back $23. So each time you eat two of them instead of drinking a cup of coffee, it's roughly $2.
If you want 50 milligrams of caffeine, take two Excedrin. Yeah. For pennies.
Okay. Very good. Yes. And who cares about your stomach lining, right, Rob?
That's right.
This sounds like an April Fool's Day joke, but it's oh so real. The Cleveland Indians. I told you I'd tell you about them before. Happy opening day, Red Sox. That's Red Sox are in Cleveland today. It's going to be like 14 degrees. They have announced the craziest new baseball food item of the year. They announced it last week. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
They are selling a hot dog with three toppings, bacon, mac and cheese, and Fruit Loops.
Oh, no.
God.
No.
Boo.
No.
So
no,
far,
no.
The early reviews say it's absolutely fantastic.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Where'd they send it out? St. Elizabeth's?
That's an insane asylum.
The crazy people live there.
A mental health facility. We're not being politically correct right now. And now a little something-something. 20-year-old Austin Kaler of Waco, Kentucky. I thought there was only a Waco, Texas. Didn't know there was a Waco, Kentucky, but there are wackos in Waco. Anyway, 20-year-old Austin disappeared last week. He called his family and told him he'd been kidnapped, and the kidnappers were demanding a ransom of $150.
That's a good ransom.
Or they kill him.
So specific.
His family called the cops. They traced his phone and found him hiding out. He tried to run, but when they caught him, he admitted he'd made the whole thing up to get money for drugs.
Dummy.
So sad. Sad. Austin.
Money for drugs.
That's right. He only estimated his own life's value at $150. He was charged with falsely reporting an incident, disorderly conduct, theft by deception, and fleeing police. When intern Mac did this 2 years ago, he asked for $275 on a new video game. So that's nearly as devalued. We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault and Rob Spiewak. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Hey, it's your buddy Oscar Santana.
And this is Todd Moore.
You know us from Tech 411, the tech show that's sweeping the nation.
That's right, and we are here to help get you all your tech news, reviews, and apps you need to own.
It's very simple, and it's absolutely free.
So subscribe on iTunes and check us out on the Moore Broadcasting Network.
And for the record, we're not banging.
New show will be posted today.
Cool.
All right, we're running late. Get our, hey, listen, if you're going to buy anything, go through our Amazon page, okay?
Please.
Don't shop at Amazon without thinking of TMOS. Go to MikeOmeraShow.com/Amazon. Click the Amazon button on our website or use the TMOS app and click on the shopping cart. Then shop like you normally would. It's that easy, that simple. It means the world to us. Thank you, friend, and thanks for being a good listener and shopping on Amazon through TMOS. Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for Monday, April 4, 2016, Rob Spiewak.
I would think, you know, with the busyness of your weekend, you might have missed this story. However, it did break national. They found some unexploded C4 plastic explosives on a Loudoun County school bus.
There you go.
And, of course,
Wade Beard.
When you want to put the fire out, you go straight to Wade. It made CNN.
All right. Let me see. And are we going to get sound from Wade?
Of course. We have two clips of Wade
all
today.
Right, let me see if I can remember the proper way to do the impression.
Oh, you are so dead on.
This is Wade Byrne, and I'm going to tell you what happened. We have disciplined the driver. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
I want to see if I sound like a
here's the CNN coverage.
Loudoun County parents say they were shocked after learning explosive training material had been found on a school bus. Even more alarming for some was that students had been riding the bus for 2 days before it was discovered. In an email that went out to parents and staff members last night, it states the explosive training material was, quote, in a benign state and could not be activated through normal operation of the bus.
In the state that it's in, you'd have to have a blasting cap or something to actually make it explode. That was not the case.
You know what could have blown it up is his explosive personality.
How did that happen?
Yeah. They loaned the buses out on spring break to the CIA for training purposes. Mm-hmm. Now, here's Channel 4 got a little more detail from Wade, and there was something about the bus that we didn't realize with the CNN coverage. This is our local NBC affiliate. Here's Wade.
It was a special needs bus. There were 26 students total. It went a total of 145.6 miles with the substance on it.
So, Mike, it was not a long bus.
Where was the explosive
long
again?
Long trip, though, with that many miles. 145 miles?
Yeah. Well, they was serving three schools for 2 days.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So
was it under the bus?
It was, I believe it was under the hood.
Jesus.
Wow.
But as they needed a blasting cap. Now, Mike,
don't make me press these brakes. You kids, calm down.
You can't slow down.
Yeah, if they went under 88 miles an hour.
Or Schiano.
Now, this is, Mike, the thing about this that really I find the most entertaining is I haven't watched NBC's local news in some time. Jim Vance has a new affectation.
Oh, no.
That has been long time coming. I want you to hear
He's
Jim.
Still on?
Yes. And that's the thing.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember an impressionist named Bob McFadden from the late 60s?
I think I do.
You will remember him, but I want to compare. Here's Jim Vance recorded just days ago.
Our Chris Gordon was the first to report the CIA left explosive training material in a Loudoun County school bus. Now, many parents are wondering, how could that happen? Chris has more on what went wrong. And
we're not going
What's
to mention the
wrong?
Loose plate.
He sounds pretty good for
a
guy.
You're
but
a dick.
The pausing.
Yeah.
The
how
pausing.
Dare you?
The pausing made me think of this David Brinkley impression from 1968.
Good evening. We're broadcasting live the inauguration of the 37th President of the United States here from the Hollywood Bowl. This inauguration will go down in history as the most magnificent night in Hollywood, second only to the premiere of Cleopatra.
The pausing. Listen.
Our Chris Gordon was the first to report the CIA left
Why do you
explosive
hate Jim Vance?
I don't.
In a Loudoun County school bus.
Well, he manages to fit 15 seconds of news into 30 seconds. That's
well,
all
you
I'm
know,
saying.
I mean, I used to think he hated us until I met him and he was really nice to me and we chatted at a motorcycle function. So that was.
I'll say this, that he, as far as Vance is concerned, when they took him off the 11 o'clock news, right? And they put
Vance.
Him on the evening news, I sat there, I'm like, is this man clearly wants to work, right?
He does.
He can still do it.
Right.
And they're not pushing him out like they're pushing everybody else out.
And then in the world of broadcasting, yes. It's one of the few places where, you know, that people can actually have normal careers of
right.
longevity. Not like the radio business where, you know, if you're 12, you're too old.
Yeah. You think Doreen would still be spinning records? No,
exactly.
She'd be out the door
not
years ago.
Not a goddamn chance.
Anyway, so if you're in Loudoun County, check under the hood. That's
please,
all I'm saying.
Please.
Oprah has a show because she doesn't have the Oprah show anymore. Now she has a show called Super Soul Sunday.
Ooh.
And she was talking to Tracy Morgan and she asked him about what it was like when he was in his coma. Tracy had something pretty remarkable to say.
When you're in a coma for 8 to 10 days, you're basically knocking on the door.
Yeah, you're knocking
on
the door.
And I can remember, I don't know if I was in the coma or in and out of the coma, I just came, but I remember I was talking to my dad. He had this green thing on. I just remember him saying, I'm not ready for you, son.
Really?
And I started crying so hard. Mm. I was crying hard, probably harder than I cried at his funeral. And I just kept saying, Dad, because he was my best friend in life.
So he says he spoke to his father on the other side when he was in his coma.
Well, you know, haven't there been books written and articles written about the fact that when somebody is brain dead, or they're not brain dead, but when they're out of it, even
right.
people that they might think are brain dead, they actually talk about the activity that goes
mm-hmm.
on. So
I know one thing is that a lot of people, I've heard it from many places, that when people are at the very end of their life, a lot of times they will hold on until family members tell them it's okay to go.
Well, my mom said this to my sister a few weeks before she passed. She said, she doesn't think that heaven is being reunited with people that went before you. So many people say that, myself included.
Right.
She doesn't believe that. And that's pretty amazing. Like a couple of weeks before her death, she does think it would be a beautiful experience, though. That was the way she, fear
nice.
Either. No fear at the end for my mom, which
that's
is
excellent.
Pretty stunning. Truly stunning.
I wanted to play this for you on Friday, but I held on to it because I think, Mike, you'll enjoy this as much as anybody would. Planet Snoop. There is a new show where he is doing more narration
Well, there
of
was
animals.
A demand for it online. People clamored for this guy to do the narration of animal videos.
So this is Great. Squirrel versus Snake.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see. I saw the video
okay.
on the plane. I did not listen to the audio. I can't wait to hear
squirrel
this.
Squirrel versus Snake on Planet okay. Snoop.
Squirrel versus Snake. The snake gonna whoop him. This is an easy win, man. This is an easy win for the snake. Why are you not biting back? All you gotta do is hit him in the head right now. Go and hit him right now. Strike him. Strike him. Strike him. There you go. Back him up.
Strike him.
Back him up.
Back him up.
This squirrel is hard. What gang he from? I got my money on the squirrel, cuz. Don't get scared. Get the money. Oh, there you go. Over the top. Oh, he got him. He went for the head. He got him. He got him in the head, cuz. He got him, cuz. Squirrel got him. Now, if he can bust a nut, you know he can bust a snake head over. No problem. That's the nut buster right there. I've never seen anything like that. I ain't never seen no like this either. A squirrel beat a snake? Man, he rocked him. That squirrel belongs to a gang.
The only thing I say to them, please no laugh track. We can just have Snoop and it will be fine.
Horrible audio and a laugh track. Okay, they blew it.
And thank God no one was hurt on the special needs bus.
Thank you, Wade.
Thanks for covering that up. Appreciate that.
For your magic. That is your magic audio vault. Welcome back, Mike. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Back. That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. Be sure and join us for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia 20177. To get your message or birthday request into our mailbag, send it along to Rob with two B's at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And don't forget to take our survey. Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It means a lot, and we rely on your word of mouth. Tell a friend or family member about TMOS and make sure they get it too. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.